Who the hell is Owen Higgins? Whoever might he be? Or is it she? Assumption will not help at all, but with gumption, perhaps we can make the call as to who or what this character is. What is the nature of this here Owen? If Owen has a brother, does that mean Owen's broin? And if a good show was showin', would Owen be going? Maybe broin Owen be towin' a crow in to the good show showin' while sowin' the seeds of love. But who the hell is Owen Higgins? 'Tis a question more than fair. Friends, stick around till the end of the show and find out, if you dare. This one, mark my words, is going to make a splash!
What is a song?
Where do songs come from? What is the life of a song?
How much can a song morph and change before it becomes something else entirely?
What is the essence of one song?
One song. This is one song.
This is one song.
Please welcome our special guest, Mr. Owen Higgins.
Hello.
All right, Owen Higgins.
Peter Broderick, how are you?
Very good. We've been chatting all day, so, okay. Owen, I want to talk about, before we get into the song, we're going to talk tonight about a song called The Rocks of Bonn, which I think has a very special story for us and for Owen's family. But before we get into it, we'll give you guys, and also the listeners at home who might be seeing this in the future, a bit of context as to how Owen and I got to know each other and how we got to be sat here together. So, Owen, do you remember when and where we met?
Of course. How could I forget? It was on Green Earth Organics Farm in Carindulla, which was where I was working for, I would say, maybe 4 or 5 years before you came in there. And then there was a pandemic and a big lockdown, and you as a musician had no opportunity to go out and make money as a musician to go play gigs. So you would have to go get a normal job in a warehouse or working on an organic farm, packing vegetables in by weight, 700 grams, 700 grams, 700 grams, 700 grams, over and over and over again. And you came into my place of work, basically. And me and Eddie here and all the guys were like, who's this American like coming in here?
I was going to ask you, what was your first impression of me?
No, it was definitely positive. But okay. We were like, who's this guy like coming in here? Okay. Peter Broderick, he says he plays music, you know.
Did I?
Yeah, I guess I would have asked you, you play music, gotten into that. But I'd have no idea who Peter Broderick was at the time, you know, not realizing the weight that name carries.
Indeed.
Yeah, that was great though. I mean, like, you were just getting a normal job, like any normal person, having to just do a normal job, something that you probably hadn't had for how many years?
15?
Right. Yeah, so there you go. So yeah, I met you on this farm and I don't know, we just had general conversation from working together and having lunch together. And pretty quickly we found out that you played music and that I had also played music, but obviously not as seriously. I don't know, we just kind of hit it off on that kind of stuff.
So I want to tell you my perspective.
Okay.
So like Owen said, I was a musician before, I still am now, but during that time where we were all locked in our homes, especially here in Ireland, I actually had quite strict rules compared to a lot of places. And at that time in the winter, going into 2021, we had this 5-kilometer restriction where you couldn't leave your home further than 5 kilometers unless you were going to work. And when you live out in the countryside like I do, there's nothing within 5 kilometers. So myself and my wife and our boy, we were just going completely crazy. I was a subscriber for a while to Green Earth Organics as a vegetable box delivery service. Once a week, I would get a box of vegetables. So we were on their mailing list, and my wife was reading their mail out one day and said, "Oh, their Green Earth Organics is looking for help." And I saw this as my ticket out of the house, you know, and a way to make a bit of money while I can't go play gigs. So I sent an email. I went in for an interview the next day, and I started working the following day. And I came home from that first day of work, and my wife Bridget was like, "So how was it? How are your coworkers?" And I was, this is what I said. I was like, "Oh, it was really nice. There's quite a diverse group of people there. There's two or three Brazilians. There's a guy from Ghana. There's a young cocky Irish lad."
That was day one of
Owen Higgins.
So,
but within a couple of weeks, what happened was when you work out on a farm, you have tons of waste. And at the end of the day, the staff goes through the waste and you take home whatever's usable and you eat it. But I would see all these, like, you know, you'd be packing cabbages and you'd be pulling layers off a cabbage so that it looks nice. You know, the outside layers might be dirty, but you'd be throwing these outside layers into the bin and, you know, 2/3 of the big cabbage leaf would be fine. And I'd be looking at that thinking, I can't let that go to waste. And I started bringing it home and making sauerkraut. And the general manager, and I would bring back these jars of sauerkraut and give them to everyone who worked there. And the general manager said, "Oh, wow, Peter, nice. It's usually Owen's the one who does stuff like that." So then I found out that this guy, you know, takes home the waste and will make pickles and bring them back for people. And what really bonded us, in my view, was when I found out that you were making mead.
The mead, that's right. I forgot about that. Yeah, I forgot about
and
that.
And I had been experimenting the last couple years making mead, and I'd never met another person on the planet who makes mead, like, you know, maybe professionals, but like as a hobby,
just
something
for fun.
Yeah. So when I found out you made mead, then I started wanting to chat
to you.
That
was it then, was it?
Then on our lunch breaks, we found some common ground there.
I probably gave you a bottle of the mead I made.
I never gave you a bottle of the mead.
I'm still waiting for that, right? Okay.
Your mead's really delicious, by the way.
Thank you.
I love that mead.
You
should make some more.
I should. Didn't last long anyway.
Yeah, so, but, you know, that was all of a sudden having this social life in a time where you hadn't socialized in a while. Very special, made a lot of new friends there that I am still friends with today, even though I don't work at the farm anymore. But after a while I discovered that you played music. And I think one day I was starting to plan a tour once tours started to happen again, and I wanted to put together a band for it, and I just thought, maybe I'll ask this guy Owen if he wants to play the bass.
What a shot in the dark. Like, I mean, for me, I was like, I had played music as like a teenager, like growing up in secondary school, like the whole time, being in teenage bands and just playing it like angsty music, whatever, doing what a teenager wants to do, playing electric guitar and all this. And then, like, for a long time, I just left it and would have played at home recreationally, not been too serious about it, not like ever thinking of maybe making a career out of it or even to be a professional, to get paid to play like bass with you. Like, that was never in my mind ever. And I think even before you were putting the tour together, you asked me to come over to just jam. We were just going to play music together,
you know?
And we ended up just playing really mad, like, blues rock just up in your studio there.
Yeah, cathartic
it was insane.
Explosion.
Yeah, poor Bridgie downstairs. I didn't know what she might have thought of me that first day. But,
she thought you were a young, cocky Irish
man. I guess so, right? I guess so, yeah. She was right. She was right.
I guess.
Yeah, and then there was time because obviously my mom would have passed away then, and I was off work then for a good while.
Yes.
And I think you were obviously putting this tour together then in this couple of weeks, maybe a month or two that I was off work.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget it, man. I got a phone call from you asking me to go on tour, and it was something special. Like, you know, it was a huge thing. Like, after mom passing away, and then, like, you bringing me on tour to play music, it was just like a total new window has been opened after a door had been closed on something that has been going on for a long time.
And I had the honor of meeting your mother as well.
That's
you
right.
know,
coming for sure.
over to your place to play Settlers of Catan with a few of the co-workers. And so I knew that was a very special and tender time. And but also for me as a musician, working in music for 15 years, I would surround myself with musicians. So to go and work on a farm is like meeting a completely different group of people outside my bubble. And the kind of enthusiasm that you then brought to the music was something, you know, I feel like a lot of my friends there, they're just jaded musicians who are, another tour, here we go.
It was so exciting for me.
And I loved that.
Bringing me on tour all around Ireland and the UK, like, that is like a dream for, like, any young kid, you know. When I was playing music as a teenager, that would have been the dream. Like, oh my God.
How did it feel like once you were actually doing it? You know, sometimes the idea of something...
It was great. I loved it so much.
Cheers.
And some, cheers to that, man. Cheers to that, for sure.
Cheers, everyone.
Sláinte. Yeah, you know, sometimes, you know, I remember some shows, like the London show in particular, that we would have played with me, you, and Paddy, that you were pretty nervous before, like, this was the Jazz Cafe in London. It was a pretty big venue. Yeah. And you were pretty nervous before going on there. And I was just like super relaxed and excited. I was trying to crack like really cheesy jokes in the dressing room to try and settle your nerves a bit, you know? But
now here we are, you're the one who's nervous.
Yeah, right.
No.
Full circle a little bit. So
that's how you and I met. And we just, you know, we've become good friends since then. And you've started to take the whole music thing really seriously.
100%.
And I've sort of seen that developing with you over, you know, the last while. But this song in particular, The Rocks of Bonn, is sort of a link between my music and your music and something that we share together.
Definitely.
Can you possibly tell? Because I was really moved when you were the one who told me about this song.
Yeah.
And I was moved about the story that you told me, and then you played me the song, and I fell in love with it and wanted to play it. But maybe you can sort of recount how the song entered or re-entered your life.
So, I think it was last summer, myself and Dad, we're over in Renville, Oran Mór. Beautiful weather in the summertime. We went for a swim. We like to go to Oran Mór sometimes because it's easier to get than to go to Salt Hill from our home, basically.
Sure.
Staying away from all the traffic. And we were on the way back from a lovely swim on a lovely summer's evening, and this song, it must have been like Clare FM or something, you know, just on the radio coming back. This song comes on, Don Stiff's version of The Rocks of Bonn. And poor Dad there just kind of went a bit quiet and like started welling up. And we listened to the song, and I'd say we listened to the whole song without speaking. And I didn't think twice about it. It was just a nice song. But then Dad like said like that I've a strong memory of that song of his father, my grandfather, John, singing this song like milking cows, or while Dad was milking cows. And Dad had this memory of Granddad singing, "You'll Never Plough the Rocks of Bonn." And, you know, he teared up for a minute, like, and it was an emotional thing. But what's even weirder about that is my brother was, I think he was buying a surfboard somewhere down the country that same day and was driving home at the same time and also was tuned into Clare FM at the same time.
No way, is that true?
To hear this same song. So we had gotten home and then like, I don't know how, but I remember we both realized that we'd both have been listening to the song in separate cars, you know, driving in different ways. So that was something special there as well, for sure, about that song. And yeah, I'm not too like sure how my grandfather would have found that song. I'm sure back in those days in the 50s and you know, there was long winter evenings where if you didn't have a song or a story to sing or an instrument to play or a dance to do, like...
There was no television.
Yeah, you were, you know, if you didn't
no
have
Netflix.
Something, if you couldn't sing a song or if you couldn't play a game of cards, you were no good, really, like, you know.
Right.
You'd have to have something, like, you know, you'd want to be able to sing a song or recite a poem or tell a story. And my grandfather was great for that. Like, he could just recite all these poems that he had as a child that he would have learnt in school. So it's hard to say where my grandfather would have picked it up originally.
Yeah.
But you could just say it's at a session where he heard someone else sing it. Maybe it was a common song at the time. It's impossible
but
to know.
It's,
like,
it's incredible how a song can do that. Like, I don't know how long, Michael, it had been since you heard that song, but, you know, sometimes you hear a song you haven't heard for a long time and a whole flood of memories come rushing back to you all at once from a certain period in your life where that song was a part of your life.
That was how it happened. Like,
but then, so you played me that recording. I asked, oh, can I hear it? You know?
Yeah. I can't remember that specific moment where I showed you that song.
You were over at my house and you were telling me this story and I was like, I want to hear the song. And you pulled it up. It was Don Stiff, with the
Kilfenora
Cayley
Band.
And I immediately thought, I've got to learn this song, or you have to learn this song. I wanted it to be part of my musical life. And so, we're going to get into listening to some different versions of this song, but Usually in the previous episodes of this show, at the very end, I would take the guest and we'd perform a version of the song together. But tonight, actually, Owen and I have two separate versions of this song prepared, very different versions. So I think maybe we could play one version first, then come back, listen to some other people's versions, and then at the very end do our other version.
Perfect. Sounds great to
me. Okay. So let's play them the song, Rocks a Bond.
Okay. Let's get into that then.
Come all ye loyal heroes, and listen unto me. Don't hire with any farmer till you know what work might be. You'll rise up fairly early from the clear daylight till dawn, and you never will be able to plow the rocks upon.
My shoes, they are and my stockings, they are thin. My heart is always trembling for the fear they might give in. My heart is always trembling now from the clear daylight till dawn. I know I won't be able to plow the rocks upon.
My curse upon you, sweeney boy, you nearly have me wrong. You're sitting by the fireside, your feet upon the hob. You're sitting by the fireside now, your duty in your garb. I know you before he starts his day.
don't feed him on soft turnips that you grow out on yon green lawn. For I know he won't be able to plow the rocks upon. I wish the sergeant major, he would send for me in time and place me in some regiment to serve in my youth and prime. I'd fight for Ireland's glory, boys, from the clear daylight till dawn. I never will return again to plow the rocks of Arm. No, I never will return again to plow the rocks of Arm.
Credit where credit's due. We did very much take inspiration from the arrangement of that song by the Kilfenora Cayley Band.
And Don Stiff.
And Don Stiff as well.
Yeah.
Do you remember, I had a gig back this summer in June at Monroe's here in town.
Yeah, of course.
And we were playing that song that night.
Yeah.
You came up and joined me and we played it.
Yep.
But this was upstairs in the venue, but downstairs
Don
in the
Stiff
venue
was playing his regular weekly thing.
Don Stiff, the guy who inspired this song, is sitting there just playing through tunes for hours while everyone's chatting in the bar.
I think it's every Wednesday he just does his his residency kind of thing. Yeah,
that was so surreal for me because I knew this guy from a recording, and when you only hear someone on a recording, you kind of place them on a pedestal, you know. Like they're kind of mythological or something.
And he was just downstairs.
He's just the guy playing in the corner of the pub.
Yeah. He's a bit of a legend around Galway. You know, he's been doing it for a long time, and he'll sing those classics that everyone wants to hear, like the Cliffs of Dunedin and all these tunes that, you know, the older generation would just love to sing along, like the Rocks of Bon as well. You know, these songs that, you know, it's a common song. Like a lot of people love that song. You know,
when we came in here today. Liam doing sound back here, who's been doing sound for, you know, a number of these shows now. He said, "Oh, what's the song today?" And I said, "Oh, the Rocks of Bon." And he's like, "Oh, the Rocks of Bon." He's like, "Desi O'Halloran used to sing that song out on Inishbofin." And so immediately I'm introduced to another version of the song. Maybe actually we could take a listen to Desi O'Halloran's version now that that's come up. Because this maybe harkens back to what your dad would have heard in the field, just a man singing a song on his own, unaccompanied.
Exactly. Real Shannon style, you know, just the voice.
That's it.
Yeah.
And listen unto me. Don't work for any farmer. You know what work will be. You'll rise up early in the morning from the clear dead light till dawn.
You can hear the pints it's coming through, you know.
He does sound like he might have had a pint
or two.
Shows they're nearly worn out.
Got one more verse. Will we let him have it? Will we give it to him? We'll give it to him.
The legend he is, Desi.
Was right to me on time and placed me in some regiment, not in my youth and prime. I'd fight for Ireland's glory from the clear.
Somehow he sounds like he's had another pint while singing the song.
And I never would return again to plough the rocks of mine.
Yeah. That's fantastic. Yeah. Was anyone thinking while hearing that, oh, some of those words are different? Because that's what immediately crosses into my mind, and that's what's so fascinating to me about traditional songs is, you know, there's a sort of, I don't know, I think it's a cultural thing as well, because I think actually Irish culture is very fluid like that. You know, there you might not call one version the definitive version. The song exists somewhere in between all these versions.
Definitely, yeah. It's just like a general idea, and like even in this one, the melody is the same basically. But he, like, I don't know if that's
he adorns his, it differently.
Is it him, or maybe that's the version that he has heard that has changed along the way? Like, yeah. It's impossible to track down like the original source.
Yeah.
Like even the past couple of weeks here, I'm sure myself and yourself have been researching this. And to find out, like, the answer, who wrote the Rocks of On, you're never going to find this.
It's impossible. But what's interesting is that it, from all the accounts I could find, most people seem to think it's from Galway. It's a song of Galway.
Funnily enough, though, some people say it's from Cavan as well,
ah,
you know?
Okay.
And, like, if you look into that, there's, like, there is like 13 different townships all across Ireland that have like Bon. So you might have
right.
Bon
so
in
where
County
are
Cavan.
The rocks of Bon? Where is Bon?
Yeah, who knows? Who knows? It's just yeah. an idea, you know? It's just an idea.
Yeah, there's a Loch Bon over there, more on the east side somewhere.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Where, you, the, where yeah. the source is, like, God only knows. But
yeah.
I mean, like, first-hand account, like, my grandfather would have heard it. So he would have been a young man. He was born in Athenry, not too far away, yes. so, like, in the west. So you could say that he would have heard it in Galway anyway.
Right.
So maybe the version that developed here in the west might have been different than the version that
absolutely.
Is sang up north, is sang in Cavan.
Absolutely.
Is sang wherever, anywhere else they would claim that Bon is, you know? So.
Yeah. You pointed out a line in there, my doujean in my... In,
yeah.
in,
the doujean.
In my gob.
It's the best line.
That, when I first heard the song, yeah. you remember, I said to you,
what's a doujean?
What's a doujean?
I had no idea what a doujean
was.
I had to ask Dad what a doujean was. An old cob pipe is what it is.
Right.
Like a clay pipe for
it's
tobacco.
It's my favorite line in the song
yeah,
to sing.
It's great. A doujean. A clay pipe for yeah. tobacco, you know?
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we have a couple more versions. I think it might be a good time for the secret version. Did anyone notice the pumpkin on the table? Yes. Owen and I were walking down here today, and we passed Ernie's shop down there on Sea Road.
Shout out to Ernie.
And Ernie's a great, you know, it's just great to go in and pay Ernie a visit. And he had some lovely pumpkins out there, and we thought, 'tis the season. So we decided we would do a bit of a pumpkin giveaway. We're going to play a version of the Rocks of Bon. And the first person, when the voice comes in, the first person who can tell us whose voice this is gets the pumpkin. And now, I will say, if you don't have a mind to carry a pumpkin with you, don't say the name, because it's a big responsibility. But if you want the pumpkin, and you know who it is, then please shout it out. It's a very recognizable voice if yeah. you're familiar with Irish music. I'll say no more.
You can always give the pumpkin away as well. I mean, you know.
You could. But that would... No, you can't give it to either of us.
That's off the books for sure.
Right, yeah. Here we go. There's no voice in the song, I'm just kidding.
Guess the piper. That could be obvious enough too for people in the know. Higgins.
Owen, would you like to deliver the pumpkin to your father? This is so perfect.
There you go, Pop. Enjoy it. I kind of had a feeling that Dad would get it. Of course. Of course. Okay.
From the clear.
'80s?
Sounds like it, for sure.
Will be able for to plow the rocks above. Oh, rise up lovely. Thank you. me well be able to plow the rocks above. My curse attend you, sweetie. You have me nearly robbed. You're sitting by the fireside with your doojing in your car. From the clear daylight till dawn, and you never will be able for to plow the rocks upon. Oh, when I wish the Queen of from the clear daylight till dawn, and I never would return again to plow the rocks upon.
Different version.
It's such a stark contrast. Compared to the one we just listened to with Desi O'Halloran, real traditional Shano style, unaccompanied voice, just himself singing.
Yep.
And then you have this beautiful arrangement with like pianos and his guitar and
80s production.
Limo Flynn. Like, yeah, it's a stark contrast. That's a beautiful version. I love that one. But there's one line there that is like, doesn't make sense. And
the verses are a bit jumbled actually. The second verse that he sang there in the other versions we've heard comes later in the tune. He sang the feed your horse some hay, don't feed him on soft turnips.
He sings it earlier, right?
He sings it earlier.
Yeah. Well, there's one line there, he says, I wish the Queen of England would send for me in time and place me in some regiment to serve my youth and prime.
Yeah.
I'd fight for Ireland's glory, boys.
Yeah.
That makes no sense. And I even sent you a clip of this. Because the Queen of England would not have you fighting for Ireland's glory.
Right.
She would have you fighting for Britain's glory in some foreign land and probably any dying, you know? So that line, I have it written here as well. This guy, Tom Lenihan, I sent you this clip. He has like a gripe to pick with this line, basically.
Let's hear that little bit. He
described it a lot better than I would.
All right.
But credit to Paul Brady and Liam O'Flynn, that arrangement is really, really nice, you know.
That's Bully Nevin's ballad. And that last verse, you won't hear it in the new version of the Rocks of Bon. That's Bully's, Bully's ballad, I got that song.
Bully Nevin.
And you know, in the new version they have, Jim, It was senseless to have it in it. I wish that puts in there the Queen of England would write to me in time and place me in some regiment while in my youth and prime. I would fight for Ireland's glory from the clear daylight of dawn, but I never would return no more to plough the rocks of Arn. Well, now, there is no sense in that verse at all, because the Queen of England would not allow him to fight for the freedom of Ireland if he was in her regiment. Exactly. You see? Well, that's what I see. There is no sense to that new version.
Yeah.
I wish the Queen of England. But in the old version, in Bully's version that's there, I wish that Patrick Sarsfield, he was a Limerick man,
okay,
would write to me in time. That's the old version of it.
Patrick.
And Patrick Sarsfield.
Bully's ballad, I got that.
That's a lovely way of singing. You have a way of singing your songs, Tom, which I find very attractive. You know, how would you decide, if you learn that from a ballad, how would you decide how to sing a song, you know?
Well, you're not. That question is asked of me 1,000 times, and I don't know how to answer that question, Jim, because several people that have spoken to me now, they says, "Do you change your voice? There is some attraction in the voice." I didn't present myself. No, I am. Everyone is a better singer than what I am. But there is. Do you change your voice? They make supper. How is it that, no matter what crowd I goes into, the minute that Glenn Hennessy started to sing a song, that crowd had quieted down and listened to that old song, traditional song, to perfection there. Well, I don't know. I don't change my voice nor do nothing, but whatever is in the voice, it attracts the people or do something. I don't know what way would it. I could answer the same as I said, and just sing the song out. But as for to change my voice, I won't change it.
Right, great.
It's a tough question for him to answer as well.
Yeah.
You know.
I'm going to sing the song in my voice, and it's going to be my voice, and I'm singing the song. I'm
singing it the way it is, yeah. Exactly.
Duh.
Yeah. Which, yeah.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
And he has a different line as well. He says Patrick Sarsfield, whereas the version we learned was, I wish the Sergeant Major.
I wish the Sergeant Major would send for me in time.
Which is more general. Like, a Sergeant Major could be in any
more
army.
More general, that was a good pun.
Could well done. Yeah. Well done. Unintentional.
Yeah, I just wanted to quickly say as well for because Michael won the pop quiz there with stating it was Paul Brady singing that version before, but I wanted to state for people who might be listening to this in the future who don't live in Ireland, might not be familiar with Paul Brady, I just wanted to quickly put out that his classic album with Andy Irvin is from the 70s is really worth going and checking out. But yeah, I think I don't know, is there that much more to say? I think we could probably wrap it up with our other version of the tune, unless you've got, or anyone else has anything else to add to this.
I mean, yeah, no, I'm no big song. I was never too big into like the meaning of the song or diving too much into it. I mean, it's pretty clear if you listen to the lyrics, like it's describing like a young farmer, a young man who, like it's he's better off, or it's an easier life if he just goes and joins the army, because where he is, this place in Bonn, like it's full of rocks and it's a hard living out there to work this land.
Oh, thanks for saying that.
And it comes to a thing of like this whole Tehellert Connacht back in the 1600s when Cromwell came and he took all the good land off the Irish people,
yes,
and sent them off west to Mayo, to Galway, out to Clare, where it was just rough, hard-working land. Like, it's very hard to make a living.
Mm.
You could not grow much tillage crops or anything like this to sustain yourself. So,
yeah,
like, it's like a lament of a young farmer who is sick of his tough life on this farm, and he'd be much better off going off joining some army, whether it be the English or the Irish, where
right,
he's guaranteed his dinner and all this stuff, you know?
Yeah.
He's better off going joining the army than having to work here day in, day out, and for nothing, like, you know?
Yeah,
it's pretty clear if you listen to the lyrics. That's kind of the tale that comes through of the song. I guess.
And if you spent any time out in the west of Ireland, you can understand it immediately.
Definitely the west of the Corrib Lake. Anyway, it's rough out there.
Yeah,
it is for
sure.
Yeah,
yeah. Nice. Well, shall we make an attempt at our alternate version of the Rocks of Bonn?
Of course.
Should we say anything about it beforehand, or should we just?
Are you ready?
Right.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Yeah, we just thought we'd try to put a different spin on it. You know, let's not say anything. Let's just play it. Let's go.
Sounds good to me.
once we finish this tune here, Owen, if you feel like sticking around, Owen's going to give us just a couple more of his own songs, which is, I think, really important. We're talking about, you know, a traditional song, but Owen's also been working really hard writing his own tunes. So stick around. The episode will be over then for the listeners at home, but for you here, he's got a couple more tunes to share. So stick around if you want.
We'll see how that goes.
We'll see how that...
Hey, and one, and two, and one, two, three,
to talk about the bananas. I don't know who brought these, but was it you, Lucas? It was Lucas.
Good man, Lucas.
Would anyone like a banana?
Always.
Yes.